We'd like to thank our friends at PwC for their support, partnership, and collaboration in making Retail Gets Real. Learn more about how PwC helps retailers at pwc.com.
Our customer overlap with the brick and mortar. We're not replacing that demand. We're creating new demand, not unlike Uber. Our customers still buy the first pair with insurance. That's the most essential pair. Then they buy the sunglasses, they buy the blue blocker glasses, they buy every color of the shape they like, therefore every occasion. So what we are seeing is not only kind of this, you know, booming of business, but also how people consume, how we can imagine how down the road we can just scale, gives us this incredible, interesting strategies we can imagine.
I'm Bill Thorne from the National Retail Federation, and this is Retail Gets Real, where we talk with retail's most fascinating leaders about the industry that impacts everyone, everywhere, every day. Just a few years ago, buying something like prescription eyeglasses online might have seemed unimaginable. But today, companies like Zenni Optical are creating an entirely new way to think about seeing better. Zenni manufactures and sells prescription glasses entirely online, and since the company began in 2003, they've sold over 20 million pairs. In just a moment, we'll be speaking with Zenni's Chief Product Officer, Bai Gan, about the company's mission and the retail approach that's made this just a quick growing company. I'm joined today by my friend, my colleague, and my co-host, Chris Stewart. Hello, Chris.
Hello, Bill. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Great. Thanks for asking.
Good. I see you're wearing eyeglasses.
I am wearing eyeglasses.
Well, that's what we're going to be talking about. And we're going to be talking about it with somebody that knows a lot about eyeglasses. Bai Gan. Bai, welcome to Retail Gets Real.
Sure. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
So how did you get to this point? I mean, you didn't get up one morning and say, I'm going to be in the optical business. I'm going to create this company, help create this company to do this extraordinary work that you're doing. How did you get here?
So the company has actually has been around for a while. It's been 15 years. It was literally created in the garage. We are based in Marin, California. It was in a garage.
What is it about garages and
companies?
I just don't get it.
It's the energy.
It's amazing.
You know, since garage is really part of our real story, so it's not fair not to milk it. They had the founders. I didn't found the company,
right.
But the founders actually had an unusual advantage. Their garage was three times bigger than the usual one.
Very good.
They had a hillside house. The garage was like a three levels tall. They were using the garage for shipping, handling, and even customer service.
Sounds like a warehouse.
It was, yes.
So they started the company. You came on board. What was your mission?
You know, I learn about so much. I mean, I think I'm a perpetual student of things. But my role in the company is the chief product officer. And then I think the product for the company is really the core we do. We do marketing, we do digital marketing, social, and all the things. But then we have figured out a way that where we can sell a pair of prescription glasses for one-tenth the price you have to pay in a brick-and-mortar store. I notice you are wearing a progressive glasses. Is that true?
A progressive meaning they change?
Yeah, so you have a near and distant vision, right?
Yes.
Yeah, because I can tell from the side and then, anyway, so.
Do you do that all the time? I mean, like you see somebody and you're like, I know those glasses.
You're nearsighted in one eye, aren't you?
I'm very nerdy. I'm a physicist by training.
Of course.
And then you happen to have a very, you know, your eyes sit so low relative to the frame. So your, what we call the segment height would be slightly unusual. So when we're making a pair of progressive glasses for you, it will be trickier.
Of course.
But then anyway, I mean, you know how much you paid for that pair of progressive glasses, probably north of $600, I would say the minimum. But
sure.
Then you have beautiful acetate glasses, you know, your Clubmaster. I mean, these things cost easily $1,000.
Right.
And then we sell them for about $60 to $80. And then I can assure you we're using the best software, the best polisher, you know, generator, which is a surfacing machine. They're all German, 300,000 euros a pot. So that's just incredible value we're creating, especially when you're spending, you need progressive glasses. Mm-hmm. That's 1/10 the price. That's what we do.
And that's part of the mission of Zenni is to make those glasses affordable because it's a global crisis.
It is a global crisis. I'm glad you brought it up. You know, we've been committed to doing this for the past 15 years, but there was a recent Sunday New York Times article is on the front page, mm-hmm. basically characterizing the lack of access to prescription eyewear as a global health crisis. As also overlooked by a major charitable foundation. They actually named the names. You can read it. They're estimating the total number of people who do not have access to prescription eyewear to as large as 2 billion people.
Wow.
This is, again, I want to remind you, this is not an optional item. This is something you rely on for the most basic functions in life, driving your kids to school, sure. work, for kids to learn. There are tons of literatures about access to prescription eyewear, academic performance.
Yeah. Even just filling out job applications. I mean, if I can't to fill out a job application, I can't work, I can't put food on the table, I can't put a roof over my family's head.
Right. There are actually tons of articles about the solutions are just so simple.
Yeah.
And then the most challenge, the biggest challenge is price.
Yeah.
That accessibility issue is price.
Mm-hmm. So. And it's not just people who are, you might think of being affected by this. Prescription sunglasses, they're very expensive. And I just bought a pair through Zenni. And I said in the office, it changed my road trip life because I would drive with my non-prescription sunglasses and I would get tired and then get sleepy. And now, I'm driving 10 hours and I'm golden because I can see.
Oh, scored. non-prescription sunglasses.
You've got a testimonial, I think.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
So when the business started, were there a lot of competitors out there in the online space?
No, Zenni is among the first who have created the business model. And I believe there were $39 glasses around the same time. But then we adopted a very interesting strategy when we first came online. Even myself, when in the past 4 or 5 years, we experienced 5x growth. The company has been steadily growing. And then we had employees in our factory and our offshore factory that has experienced 100,000x growth, literally. People wouldn't believe. They still can't believe the next 10x growth we're presenting, right? When we first came online, there was $39 glasses. And then the founders decided to not just beat competition. They actually started the price as $29 glasses. I think for a while we were called $29 glasses. And then quickly, once you figure out what's the cost structure, what is your supply chain, and then we quickly lower it to $15.95 and then now to $695. That's not only frames, that's a finished pair of glasses.
Wow.
Not unlike the one I'm wearing.
Right.
It's frames and accurate prescription lenses. That's already mounted. It's a finished pair. Basically, it's a custom-made product.
Sure.
Where can you buy another customized product, regardless what,
right,
for $7?
No, you can't.
You couldn't get a license plate with your name printed on it.
Or a keychain.
Keychain. Exactly, yeah. So it's quite interesting.
So you've been in business since 2003. You've been online only. The technology has changed a lot since 2003. So how has that changed? Has it changed your business? Have you guys, adopted new things or what?
Yeah, absolutely. The the business actually touches on so many aspects of technologies. I'll just kind of give you a quick overview of the kind of industries with supply chains and technologies we're in. Mm-hmm. We're vertically integrated. Many online competitors would make similar claims. But being very deeply rooted in the optical industry, I can assure you they do not mean the same thing.
Right.
We have a manufacturing facility currently has approaching 1 million square feet in space. our current manufacturing facility, 240,000 square feet in size, is producing 15,000 pairs of prescription glasses a day. Mm-hmm. We just constructed another new building that is literally six soccer fields stacked.
Really?
And if fully equipped, that's down the road. We have still have to spend tens of millions of dollars to put German equipment in the buildings, right?
Sure.
Our existing factory is going to be able to handle 100,000 pairs of prescription glasses a day. Last year, 90 million pairs of glasses were sold in the U.S. total. 100,000 a day is 36.5 million a year, one-third of the U.S. domestic.
Those are amazing stats.
Well, but glasses are an accessory now, and so this is the beauty of it. You know, I can have glasses to match all of my shoes, for instance, right. And with this model, I can get them for $7.
That's exactly the idea. That's exactly. I'm so happy you're so resonant to our business model. We kind of call them the eyewear wardrobe.
Yeah.
That's the idea. You know, just that's exactly following up on what I just stated. You know, we are already planning for the next 10-time growth. This year, we are on track to sell 5 million pairs of glasses. We have constructed physical facility capable of growing 10 times. When we do, we're not going to be one-third of the U.S. domestic because that 90 million pairs last year was based on an average of 1.2 pairs per person. But our average ownership is 5 to 6 pairs at that price point. It changes behavior because once you can buy this pair you're wearing, forgive me, it's going to cost, you know, this progressive glasses, it's going to cost $80.
Mm-hmm.
If that's in single vision, that's going to cost less than $30.
Mm-hmm.
So you can easily afford 10 pairs. You can have every color of that shape.
Mm-hmm.
So our customer overlap with the brick and mortar. We're not replacing that demand. Mm-hmm. We're creating new demand, not unlike Uber. They still buy, our customers still buy the first pair with insurance.
Mm-hmm.
That's the most essential pair. Then they buy the sunglasses. They buy the blue blocker glasses.
Right.
They buy every color of the shape they like.
Mm-hmm.
They're for every occasion.
Mm-hmm.
So what we are seeing is not only kind of this, you know, booming of business, but also how people consume, how we can imagine how down the road we can just scale gives us this incredible, interesting strategies we can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things about buying eyeglasses online, and I have bought, I mean, just readers. I've had the miracle of laser surgery years ago, so I haven't had to buy prescription glasses, but now I'm old, so I have to buy readers. So annoying. But with that in mind, it's something I want to try on and see how, you know, look in the mirror and be like, okay, that worked. I got a giant head. I've got a giant fat face. So, I mean, I got to kind of experiment. And so how do you address that? I mean, for somebody like me that says, I just don't look good in glasses, so therefore I've just got to find the pair that make me look the worst less.
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm glad you asked it. Because generally, just stepping back, one major challenge, one field of challenge for us is how you bridge this online experience, virtual experience, to that of brick and mortar, face-to-face, where you actually interact with your optician, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, mainly the answer is technology. We have a virtual triangle to upload your picture. I mean, you do have a larger than average TD.
I've been
such
told
a
that
nice
many
way
times.
To put it.
Very handsome person. I can attest to that. And we actually have very good designs for you. For example, the pair I'm wearing is called a universal universal bridge fit. So they are actually designed with this material called TR nylon, injection molded material. After the show, I would love you to try it out. I have a few other pairs. So basically, regardless of your bridge type, like I'm an Asian, and then you have a very prominent bridge, regardless, this pair is, I'm going to bet, is going to fit you pretty well. But anyway, we have the virtual try-on. You can actually, you know, upload your picture into your PD. You will see how you look. And we're actually working with some of the best talents in the Bay Area to on the next version where you can do the 3D, the video based. You can actually pan your head, you know, back and forth. You can see how they look from every angle. And then we're going to be able to do virtual measurement as well. This is not just the look. Prescription eyewear is a FDA regulated medical device. First and foremost, we are making a medical device. So the optical sensor has to be accurate. You know, your PD has to be accurate. Your pantoscope, you know, there are a lot of other things that comes into adaptation, comfort, and how well you see. For the readers you buy from drugstores, the biggest problem is you probably don't need to enter your pupillary distance. That makes it susceptible to inducing some what we call prism effect. When your optical sensor behind the glasses are not exactly matching your optical sensor where your pupils appear, you know, behind the glasses. That's where when you walk around in those, you know, the floor might be distorted, you make you dizzy. So it's actually not a good idea to buy those from.
Thanks. Now you tell me. I haven't gotten dizzy in the thing that I'm always very conscientious of or conscious about is that, you know, if you wear these too much, so, you know, it's always the on and off. So I don't have the split, which probably would make sense. But the idea that you're buying something off the shelf at a drugstore for, I don't know, $20 or whatever it is, and it's not necessary, you know, it's kind of this universal thing, but not everybody sees the same, mm-hmm. even though.
In both eyes.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And so are you doing damage to yourself?
Right.
And the eyes, you know, it's so important that you do it right. Mm-hmm. And so now you've got me nervous and I won't be wearing those.
And the other thing, can I just add another thing that's going to scare you a little bit further?
Oh, boy. This is over. So anyway. Go ahead, scare me.
It's the high energy blue light.
Yes, from computers and
it's from computers. Yeah. Actually, from every source, mm-hmm. it's abundant in natural and artificial setting. It's from the sun, and then in the past 10 years, we have you definitely have heard about the damage of ultraviolet light UV. But it turns out some of the high energy blue light is just as damaging. And then the shorter wavelengths, the visible range of light can actually hit the back of your eyes more easily, reaching the retina more easily than ultraviolet light. And then the damage is accumulative. It's going to wreak havoc later in life. So you need blue blockers.
I need
with your reading
kind of
glasses.
It's ingenious because you're an online company, so you're contributing to this, but you're also creating your own market then.
Absolutely, absolutely. This is the kind of our newer thing. We kind of work with Mitsui Chemicals mm-hmm. in Tokyo and then created this, what we call a mass-produced lens, blue mm-hmm. blocker lens. Mm-hmm. What it means is they're not coating-based. Mm-hmm. Whatever is absorbing the high energy blue lights is baked in the lenses itself.
Oh.
It's really pretty high tech stuff. And then currently, if you search blue blocker lenses mm-hmm. on Google, we're actually number one in natural SEO. Mm-hmm. We're selling 2,000 pairs of blue blockers a day now.
2,001 this afternoon. I'm serious. It's just like, you know, we had a guest last year, Joey Zawilliger, who's the founder of Allbirds, and he didn't leave the building before I ordered 2 pair, and I now have 6. So I have a feeling that this afternoon I will be on the Zenni.com website. We're just about out of time, but I do want to ask you this, Bai. You said earlier you were a physicist. How did you get from a physicist to this optical opportunity?
Actually, without a focus beyond just being a recovering physicist for physics, I actually was in a PhD program in business school where I dropped out. I worked for the Li Ka-shing Foundation in Hong Kong, the guy who owns everything in Hong Kong, and also the Panama Canal. I was actually doing higher education reform in this very interesting high-profile higher education experiment he fully funded. Then I did my public policy degree at UC Berkeley.
Okay.
Then I did international relations for 10 years.
It's an interesting journey, but you've obviously ended up in the right place.
It's very exciting. It is a very exciting job. It really utilizes a lot of my training and background, or it's just my wishful thinking, you know, but then I tend to think they are actually helpful.
That's fantastic. So we have a part of this program before we wind up, and you may not be familiar with it, but it's called Rapid Fire.
Sure.
What we're going to do is we're going to ask you a question, and you're just going to answer with the first thing that comes to mind.
Sure.
You don't think about it. Don't apply your physics, just whatever comes to mind first.
I'm not sure that's possible, so let's try.
One of our favorite segments on Retail Gets Real is Rapid Fire, thanks to our sponsor, PwC.
All right, Chris, start us off.
What superpower would you like to have?
Oh, longevity.
That's good. What app can you not live without?
Tracking my hiking steps.
Yeah. Hiking stuff.
I love hiking.
Yeah. What is the last thing that you geeked out over?
You know, philosophy, epistemology, that kind of thing.
What is the one thing that is always in your refrigerator?
It is this milkman kind of a cartoon character from Tokyo. Every time you open the door, it says some Japanese I don't understand.
That is a first. Wrap us up, Chris.
What is your favorite way to unwind after a busy day?
Every day in the morning, wake up early, 5:30, have 2 hours, just drink coffee and read. That's my time. It's just immensely enjoyable. That's thinking about it makes me smile.
I'm with you.
Excellent.
It's that early morning zen.
Quiet time.
Yep, exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, if anybody wants to learn more about Zenny online, where do they go?
Zenny.com.
Zenny.com. That's pretty easy. Z-E-N-N-I. Zenny.com. Well, Chris, thank you so much for co-hosting today.
Always a pleasure.
Loved having you and can't wait for you to do it again. Bye. Thank you so much for stopping by.
It's been a great pleasure.
Oh, it's been incredibly interesting, a little frightening. but I see... I can't guarantee much in life, but I can guarantee that within the next week, I'm going to have some new glasses.
Absolutely. You got
Zenny.
It.
From Zenny.com. So I want to thank all of you out there for joining us as well. If you want to learn more about this episode or past episodes, just go to RetailGetsReal.com. Once again, thank you for joining us. We look forward to seeing you next time.
You've been listening to Retail Gets Real, brought to you by NRF. For more information about the National Retail Federation, visit us online at nrf.com.